Welcome once again to Advance, an NCEES podcast series. I'm your host, David McDowell, Chief Operating Officer at NCEES, and I'm really excited to get the chance again to talk to a colleague of mine, Jason Gamble. Jason is the Chief Officer of Examinations for NCEES, and in this episode, he'll give us an important update on NCEES exams, including the revised format to the PE Civil exam. Prior to becoming Chief Officer of Examinations, he served as an NCEES exam development engineer for 10 years, where he managed the development of four PE exam disciplines. Jason is a licensed PE, a member of the American Society of Civil Engineers, the National Society of Professional Engineers, the Structural Engineering Institute, and the Theta Tau Professional Engineering Fraternity. Thank you again for listening to our podcast today. Let's go ahead and jump right in with Jason. Well, thank you, Jason, for joining us today. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about exams, and I know that that is what your role at NCEES is basically overseeing the development of the exams. But so I'd like to talk or ask a couple of questions as it relates to not necessarily how NCWS writes questions or assembles exams, but mostly about the process to getting to an exam, so to speak. So there's this need for an exam that is set, right? We got to have this exam. And then at the end, you're going to give an exam. So the big thing for me, or the question for me, is how do you ever get to that point where what's going to be on this exam? So like, what's the process for that?
Very good. Well, thank you for having me, David. Certainly appreciate it. Yeah, we'll pick up right in the middle. And where we pick up at after that need has been set is how we go about doing that. And in all high stakes testing, not just engineering, but that's what we're talking about here, engineering and surveying, they perform what's called a jobs analysis or a task analysis, practice analysis, or role delineation study. Well, here at NCEES, we call it a PACS, a professional activity and knowledge study. And the purpose of it is to determine or revise the structure of an exam and its content specification or blueprint, as well as determine the number of items in each content area that should be allocated for a test form. So the PACS is where we pick up. It's used as a means to provide a basis for defending the appropriateness of all of our exams. So that's where we pick up at a PACS.
So talk about this process. So again, some first step, right? So something's got to happen that kicks the process off to say, you know what, at the end of this, whatever time frame, 18 months, 2 years from now, we're going to give this exam and this is the topics covered. Something kicks it off. So talk a little bit about that portion or part of the process.
You're absolutely correct. It's a two-step process, this PACS. The first step is a questionnaire development. The second step is the specification or content or blueprint development, whatever you'd like to call it. So the first step, the questionnaire development, it begins with the assembly of a diversified committee of licensed experts from the field in which we're trying to develop the exam. That questionnaire is going to be sent out to the profession for professionals in this discipline to rate how important these tasks and knowledges are for a person with the appropriate amount of education, a commensurate amount of experience, in order for them to practice competently, in order to safeguard the life, health, safety, and welfare of the public. So when it comes to that committee, it has to be a diversified committee. These are our procedures. We want that committee that's going to develop this questionnaire to be diversified with regard to their age, their gender, geographic location, where they practice, what type of practice, their ethnicity. All this is important so that it's not just one area that's going to be responding to this questionnaire and where we're going to be getting our data from. That data contains a list of knowledges and skills that professionals who practice in this discipline feel are important during the time of licensure for an individual to practice competently and safely. The questionnaire generated based on the task statements and important knowledges and skills that are developed at this meeting. It gets sent out far and wide to anyone and everyone so that we can get qualified responses. Notice I said qualified responses. That definition changes each time we do one of these PACs. So for instance, if we are doing a PAC to determine what the next metallurgical engineering exam is going to be, then a qualified response would be from a professional licensed metallurgical engineer or someone who's licensed and practices in the area of metallurgical engineering. So the survey goes out to the population that's being surveyed, and the respondents, they rate each one of those tasks and knowledges that we're asking about. So whatever the discipline is, we ask, how important is this thing or that thing in order to protect the life, health, safety, and welfare of the public? Each one of those get rated from 1 to 5, 1 being of no importance, all the way to 5 being very important. Once those ratings come back, they get analyzed. They get analyzed by a professional called a psychometrician. In this case, a person who's an expert in measurement and testing. All of that data from the questionnaire gets analyzed and grouped and put together so that the second meeting, the second step, can take place. And that is the examination specification development process. So, step 2, the psychometrician has analyzed all the data. We've gathered all the people that are going to participate in the next meeting, the specification development meeting. Once again, that group of people has to be diversified. Same amount of diversity as before: age, gender, geographic location, years of experience, ethnicity. The one caveat is this time, when we assemble this panel, anywhere from 10 to 15 professionals, half of them, for continuity purposes, will come from the group that developed the questionnaire. So now that we have all the responses from the questionnaire, we have our panel, half of which came from the first panel that developed the questionnaire. Now it's time to dive in and dig into this analysis and this report that's going to be presented by the psychometrician. They look at all the ratings. You heard me speak earlier about all the ratings that each one of the tasks and knowledges in the questionnaire got. They look at all the ratings, and immediately the cutoff point is 2.5. So any of the tasks and knowledges that rated 2.5 and above, they automatically are going to be included because the population that was surveyed felt so strongly about how important that topic was in order to safeguard the welfare of the public. Anything that's borderline, 2.4, it can also be included, but a very strong rationale must be presented by this committee in order to do so. And anything less than 2.4 automatically is failed and is not included to be considered as part of the specification. So then, having all the knowledges grouped that passed and made muster, the ones that are borderline, if rationale is given so that they are now going to be included, they're then grouped into subcategories and then evaluated further by this committee.
So there are a couple of questions that kind of come from that. So that original group that's putting together the questionnaire, surely they missed something, right? So how is there a mechanism for somebody to say, hey, I feel like you've left something off?
Very good question. Absolutely. So at the end of that questionnaire, the last question that every respondent gets to answer, as comprehensive as this questionnaire may be, is there anything that this group of 10 to 15 professionals may have left off that you as a practicing professional feel should be included? And so, yes, if enough people at that point come back with similar mind and similar responses that this thing that was initially left off of the survey does need to be included and gets rated high enough, then yes, something that may not have initially been on the survey would be included at that time.
As we approach that point, so that's that specification committee. They're looking at all of this data. They're putting it all together. They're going to put it into what we sometimes call the specification or the test blueprint. I think that's what you referred to them as. That's essentially what the examinees are told is going to be included on the examination. How often does NCEES go through this process? I mean, it sounds like it takes anywhere from a year to 18 months to 2 years to go through all of this process. So how often does NCEES go through this?
Yes, you're right. It takes anywhere from 18 months to 2 years to go through this process. And we do this every 5 to 7 years. We typically do not go beyond 8. And if there are changes in technology or the world as we see it, sometimes that they can happen more often than the 5 years. But we typically try not to go beyond the 8, because at that time, it's time to take a look and survey the population and see what has changed, what else is out there that we should be considering with regard to licensure for a particular discipline. So every 5 to 7 years, we go through this process for each one of our exams.
NCEES has obviously a number of different engineering as well as the two surveying exams. So it seems like, I feel like it's probably NCEES is in the process of completing one of these for some discipline at all times.
Always. We're always in the PACS process. None of them are always going to be happening at the same time. We're always in the process of determining what the next round of specifications is going to be for any one of our over 30 plus exams.
All right. So kind of back to the process again. We have that need to have an exam. We go through this process of, developing a test specification. What other kind of impacts happen when you finish with that test specification? So in other words, I guess there's a timing impact. There could be some formatting impacts.
Yes.
Of the exam. And then, of course, if there's new topics covered on the exam, there seems to be a need to have a new standard for that exam set. So what are some of the other impacts of this PACS process?
Yeah, so again, very impactful. The PACS is where we get our defensibility and our reliability regarding our exams, and is very impactful. So one of the biggest things that can occur with a PACS, as what occurred with our PE civil exam, is they could actually change the format of the exam. You heard me say at the very beginning that this is how we determine the format of an exam. So if you think about our civil exam, for years and years, for quite some time, ever since 2000, it's been in a breadth and depth format. And we here in this building, we don't necessarily control that. You heard me talk about the survey, that the questionnaire that goes out far and wide so that practicing professionals can tell us what's important. And so when that survey goes out far and wide and a group of professionals tell us that this is what's important, talking about civil, for transportation practitioners to know, whatever it includes, whatever makes muster, whatever is rated high enough, is what ends up on the exam. So for instance, if certain other aspects of civil engineering don't make the transportation cut, so to speak, then our guidelines, the way we do things, say that we won't test on them. So when you have these common things that are no longer, based on the questionnaire, important to practitioners, or practitioners are suggesting that your time is best spent focusing on the specialty or the depth of the discipline, then that's where it heads. So when you complete the PACS and you end up with a formatting change, that's definitely impactful with that regard.
So let's talk about that just a little bit more, because you mentioned the civil PE exam. Years ago, again, you mentioned back in and around the year 2000, the mechanical, the electrical, and the civil exam were all in this breadth and depth format. So what I'm assuming from what you're saying, at some point, the civil exam is no longer going to be in this type of format. So when does that change occur?
Yes. So the civil exam, starting in April of 2024, that exam is what we call a linear on the fly exam, meaning that it's tested year round. Whenever there's a seat available, a candidate can take the exam. And starting April 1 of 2024, that exam will no longer be a breadth and depth format, meaning there will no longer be a common breadth for all five disciplines of the civil exam. Each discipline, each of the five disciplines will be a depth exam all of its own. That starts in April of 2024.
So that means there's going to be a civil transportation exam, a civil geotechnical exam, a civil structural, a civil construction, and a civil water
resources
environmental. May have had that one backwards. So it'll be five separate exams. So as an examinee, for example, if I sign up to take the exam after April the 1st, I choose which one of those five civil exams I'm going to take. And if I chose transportation, when I went to sit at the test center to take the exam, it would be primarily transportation topics, but there could be some overlap with some of the other disciplines, correct?
There could be some overlap where the questionnaire was rated high enough for that topic to show up on both exams. There could be some overlap in content, yes. The difference is that overlap in content is going to be completely unique to each of those exams with regard to what's delivered. In the past, when it was a breadth format, that content was identical between a transportation and a civil exam taker. Whereas now, if there's any overlap in content between a transportation and a civil structural taker, then that content isn't identical. It's just overlap with regard to the content. But before, it's not only overlap in the content, it's a common breadth where they're taking the exact same items.
Right. So it's a little bit of a difference, I guess, is you're talking about, whereas in the older format, the breadth and depth format, it was the actual exam questions were identical. And in this case, it's more of the topic area can be of overlap.
That is correct.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about mechanical and electric. Where are they in this process, or has that already happened?
Yeah. So mechanical just came out of this process. You know, we talked earlier about we're always in the middle of this for one or the other. Mechanical literally just came out of this process this year. Several years ago, they went through this process and their exam went from a breadth depth format to this discipline specific format. And they just came out of this process and they too, being a depth only exam, they remained depth only. No formatting changes, only content changes to the mechanical exam. So the mechanical exam is still a depth only exam with three different depth exams: HVAC, thermal fluids, and machine design. When we look at electrical, it too used to be a breadth and depth exam. It is just starting its PACS process. So its PACS process is starting this year, and we'll see what happens with it. Again, I don't have any expectations. We don't decide what happens, but right now it is currently a depth exam for all three different electrical exams, and if nothing changes, it will remain that way, and it will only be the content that changes at the end of the PACS process.
So kind of going back a little bit to the PACS process and how we get there. So questionnaires developed, what kind of numbers are we talking? I mean, like when we say we put this out and NCWS sent this survey to a number of civil engineers, for example, we're talking about the civil because we're going to see that change coming up in April of 24. What are we talking about in terms of the number of, say, responses to the survey?
Right. Great question. So we have a minimum number of responses that we like to get in order to get the statistical analysis that is needed by our psychometrician. That minimum number is 200 qualified responses. As we all know, the more responses we get, the more data we get, the better off we are when we're talking about statistics and making judgments. And so for a large volume exam like civil, as you might imagine, getting 200 responses is not hard at all. So for this last civil PACS, we got a total of 3,953 responses over 77 days. The PACS questionnaire generally stays out in the field anywhere from 30 to 90 days. Less than 30 days is probably not a thing. So even for a large volume exam like civil, we probably got 200 responses the first day. I'm just guessing, but with a large volume like that, it wouldn't surprise me if we got 200 responses the first day. And so for exam like civil, it's probably not necessary for it to remain in the field for 90 days. But again, the longer it runs, the better, the more data we can collect. But a 77-day survey time yielded 3,953 responses, qualified responses for the PE civil exam.
All right. So new exam, obviously the breadth, depth portion gone come April of 24 for civil PE exam. Anything else coming up that is going to have some kind of impact on the not only the offering, but do pass rates change? Do volumes change? What all kind of other changes could we see with this transition over to the new PE civil exam in April?
Right. So all those things could very well be impacted. Time will tell. So you asked about the pass rate. You know, that's one of those things, believe it or not, we do not control that. You know, that's a calculation after the fact is what we always say. But we have seen where when there's a change in content, regardless if there's a change in formatting. So let's just be clear, the formatting as well as the content have changed for the PE civil exams. And just in the past, when we've seen the content change for an exam, it could affect the pass rate because a new standard is set. When I say new standard, what it requires in order to pass this exam. And so now we're going to an exam that has a formatting change where there's no longer a breadth. A practitioner of structural engineering who's taking this exam is only going to be faced with taking structural engineering content for the most part. And so that person, if they're a practitioner of only structural engineering, who knows, maybe that gives them an opportunity to perform better because now they don't have to practice in areas or study in areas outside of structural engineering. So there could be a change in the pass rate. Well, it could go up. It could go down. Maybe now that the exam has an opportunity to test in specific discipline areas, you could drill down more based on the specifications. The specification will allow the developers of the exam to drill down more into that content. Whereas before, we're not having to ask transportation questions, we can ask more structural questions and they can be more in depth. And so we can drill down deeper. So perhaps it becomes a little more difficult for an examinee. So the pass rate could change one way or the other. We don't have any expectation there, but that is a possibility. And then the volumes change. We saw that when we went to CBT to begin with, the volumes changed. Some people are apprehensive about taking the new exam. I don't want to be first kind of deal. And then there are some who may say, well, I was hesitant to take it because I don't practice in the four other disciplines of civil engineering. I only practice in my discipline. And so I'm gonna hold off and I'm going to wait until the exam spec changes because we made notice that this was coming 6 months in advance that this was coming. And so they're going to wait until the exam changes to a format that's more conducive for them being successful. So you could see volume spike where, hey, all these people, they waited until now to a format that was more conducive to what the way they practice, and that's going to give them a better opportunity in order to be successful. So you could absolutely see changes in volume and or pass rate.
So we don't necessarily, NCWS doesn't necessarily give advice in helping someone pass the exam, so to speak. But do you have advice to someone who is right now, I'm going to take this professional engineering exam, I'm going to take the PE civil exam. Should I take it in January, February, March, or should I wait to April? What advice would you have for somebody?
Yeah, so my advice would always be the same, regardless of what exam, what format of the exam, and even if we're specifically talking about, we have two civil exams in hand now. We have one that's going to be before April and one that's going to be after April. My advice is still going to be the same. To someone planning on taking the exam, take a look at the specification. Either one. Compare that with your body of work, how you practice, what you practice, even where you practice. Take a look at those specifications and see how you stack up against them. If you are a practitioner who's a specialist and you don't touch any other field of civil engineering, then perhaps after April would be better for you based on the specification that only tests in your specialty area. If you are a practitioner who's more of a generalist, hey, I do a little bit of this, I do a little bit of that, I do a little bit of everything, then perhaps the specifications for the civil exam prior to April are going to be more conducive for you to be successful. But the story holds true regardless of who you are. Take a look at the specifications, which are more conducive for you to be successful, and that should be the exam you should take. And you should prepare adequately, especially if your daily practice, your job, doesn't allow you to do so.
So if an examinee decides today, and an engineer decides today, a civil engineer today, he says, I'm going to take this exam, and they go in and register. They can go in and register now. And if they pick a place and exam to take after April 1st, it's just going to be the new exam. If they take it before April 1st or in March or February or January, it's just the old format. So you could, in theory, I guess at the end, I'll try to have some inflection, but you can register today and still take the new exam, or you could register today and take the current exam, right?
That's correct. That's how flexible the system is now. You can register today and take either of those exams, whichever is going to work best for you.
Any other changes coming up that are big? Obviously, the PE civil exam has this change that's going to happen in April. The structural exam has started its transition into a computer-based test because the last paper and pencil exam was just given in October. So that's a big change as well.
That's a big change. That was the last exam on our list to convert. And starting in April of 2024, we will administer our first PE structural exam. That's the exam that was developed for states that require high seismic and high wind for its practitioners to be tested in. And so that exam will be delivered for the first time in April in a CBT format. It'll be delivered in four sections. It has a breadth and depth section for vertical and lateral. So that's where the four comes from. You have a breadth section for vertical and lateral and a depth section for vertical and lateral. And each depth section is unique to buildings or bridges. So all candidates, whether you're a building engineer or a bridge engineer, you will take the breadth exam that covers both building and bridge knowledges. But when you take your depth exam for vertical or lateral, you choose which area, whether it's building or bridge, that you'd like to take your depth exam in. And so that exam will be offered in four different sections. You do not have to take them all at once. You can spread them out. One of the big changes with regard to your results now is that they do not expire. As of this past August, the results don't expire anymore. In the past, you would have to get acceptable results on both components in order to pass the exam. Well, it's still unique that you have to get acceptable results on all four sections. However, there was a 5-year time limit in order for you to do so with regard to the components prior to August of last year. Moving forward, when we start administering the exam in April, there is no expiration date on your passing of any of the sections. You do have to pass all four of the sections, but your results do not expire.
All right, so a lot of changes coming up here with civil PE or PE civil, as well as the PE structural exam. Anything else exam related that you think the audience might like to hear, or stay tuned and look on the website for more information?
Well, we have a couple of exams that are in the works, so to speak. So we're in the process of developing a public land survey system exam that goes alongside the PS exam, currently we have a national PS exam, and there are some states that also have a different method of surveying, usually the states west of the Mississippi. That's not a specific divider, but it gives you a good indicator. States to the west of the Mississippi, they use what's called PLSS, Public Land Survey System, adopted by the Bureau of Land Management. And so we're currently beginning development of that exam. Stay tuned. Time will tell, but we're in the process of getting that started. We don't have a launch date just yet, but we are working on that, a public launch date just yet, but we are working on that to get that developed as to be an accompaniment to the PS exam for the states that require it. Once again, this is not the national PS exam. That is still being offered, but this is an accompaniment for states that require PLSS knowledge to be tested as well. So we'll be working on the development of that exam in the years moving forward.
Is there any other PACs that are currently going on? If you were an electrical engineer or, a nuclear engineer, is there any of these PACs that are currently going on that we need, engineers to participate and give us feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. So all the PACs that I talked about how the electrical PACs is just starting. There are others that will be starting this year. Fire protection will be starting this year. Control systems will be starting next year. So you go onto our website and it'll be clear as day where we need volunteers. If you go into our website, the hyperlinks are available so you can be a participant and provide your response to that questionnaire that I was talking about in the very beginning that we need practitioners to respond to. If you are a licensed professional with regard to whatever discipline that we are seeking a response for to that questionnaire, by all means, go to our website, click on the link with regard to your discipline and provide feedback on what you think is important for a practitioner with 4 to 6 years of experience, at least a bachelor's degree in education with regard to whatever engineering discipline we're talking about. Provide your input, your feedback on what you think is important and what should be tested on for whatever exam packs that's currently being displayed on our website.
Right, and so that website is simply just www.ncees.org, correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
Thank you again for joining us on the podcast today. For all of our listeners, please take a minute to leave us a review. This simple action can help others, like yourself, find and share this podcast.